dwell. Well, hallelujah. Well, are we excited this morning? Are you on fire this morning? Hallelujah. Well, my God, it is so awesome to be in the house of the Lord. You know, I tell you, there's nothing greater than the presence of God. And, you know, I love just the whole atmosphere of worship and that just that moving of God's presence. It's like a breath of fresh air. And how awesome it is when we gather together in the name of the Lord. And, you know, I tell you, you know, you go through it the whole week, right? You got all these things going on, and it's, you know, it's like, oh, man, it's crazy. You know, I used to work for UPS, and I used to work on the sort aisle. And are you familiar with how this thing works? You know, they unload the trucks, you know, the big, long tractor trailers. So they unload them, and they have all these packages coming up, some crazy amount of packages, and it's insane. And it's just coming up. And then you got to read them, figure out where they're going, and put them on one of 9 or 10 color-coded belts, conveyor belts, that are literally all around you. And so they're coming up at, I don't know, it's unbelievable. And the packages, you're like looking, trying to read it, figure out, does it go over here? You know, you're putting them underneath, you're putting them on top, you're putting them over there, you're putting them over here, you're putting them, and you're doing this for 5.5 hours straight. You know, that's a great exercise job, I tell you. Man, you'll be in really good shape working that job. But I tell you, life is kind of like that sometimes. It's like everything is coming at you. Things are coming from every sense of direction. And, you know, you're trying to put things in their rightful place and get things in order. And, man, what a challenge it can be. And then we come into the house of the Lord. It's like, hallelujah. And the Lord is able to just, we're able to enter into worship. And as we praise the Lord, as we worship him, as we glorify him, man, it's just, we're releasing, we're being liberated, we're free of all of the things we've accumulated during the week. And that is why worshiping the Lord is so awesome and so great when we're able to do it together. I know most of you guys are doing it, you know, while you're driving your car, you got that, you know, whole thing going on, and, you know, and you're able to do it while you're walking through the hallways at work, and you're like, oh, and everybody's like, man, what's with you, you know? So, but how cool is that to just have that as a resource, to enter into the presence of God, or you're just cultivating, you know, all that he is. And what a blessing it is to have a relationship with God like that, isn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. It's exciting. Woo! Come on! Sometimes I forget where I'm at, you know? I'm like, wait a minute. Hallelujah. I know it's coronavirus. Everybody's got masks on. Just because you have a mask on doesn't mean you have to be quiet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what they should come out with? A little microphone and speaker built into the mask so that it's like on the side. You know, some of these masks had these little vents on the side. What if they were speakers? So that when you talked, you could hear, hello, how are you? You know, you hear the person's voice. You don't hear, you know, you would actually hear the voice. Yeah, that sounds like a fundraiser right there. But praise God. You know, God is so awesome, and there is nothing better than being in a relationship with God, just being able to walk with him and to know him in the pardon of our sins. And we are starting a new theme this month, and it's called Own the Call. And it's the final series in our Navigating the Realm concatenation. And as we are gathering together and as we are growing through our lives. You know, as Christians, we ought to be growing. We ought to be maturing in our walk with God. Every day, we ought to get better at representing Christ in our lives. And so often, we go through life, you know, Ken was up here earlier confessing his sins over, you know, his resources. But, you know, how nice it is to be able to reflect at the end of the day and at the beginning of the next day and say, man, I want to do better today than I did yesterday. And to live life that way is is really a life that will see growth, that will enable you to see maturity. You know, whether it's doing your schoolwork if you're in school, or whether it's the job that you have, just the responsibilities that we have for our employers and for all the things that we do for our families and for our homes. What if we could each day just take a few minutes at the end of the day and reflect, what could I do better? How can I be better at what I'm doing? How can I be a better husband and father? How can I be a better wife and mother? How can I be a better son or daughter? How can I help mom and dad more? Hallelujah. You can add that to the prayer list. You know, maybe your kids would ask that question. Wouldn't that be awesome if your kids came up and said that to you? Gee, how could I be a better son? Or how could I be a better daughter to you? Man, I would be whip out a list. Wouldn't you be able to like pull out like a you know, wouldn't it be nice? You could have like notes. You should take notes in preparation for that day. You know, and you're praying for that day to come, and you have notes, and you this way when they ask, you can have your list ready. You could say, man, I've been praying for this. God has been preparing me for this day, and I have the answer. Here it is, right? And you pull it out, and you give it to them and say, now you pray about this list because God gave it to me, and I'm praying that he will reveal it to you so you can be better. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be awesome? Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, and spouses could do it. Guys are scared now. All the men are scared now. All the men are scared. The women are going, And all the guys are going, oh, God. The secret is the men already have their list. They're just scared to bring it out. They're afraid to present that list. But there's always a way we can improve in our lives, right? There's always a way that we can all do better. And that is what God enables us to do as we walk with God. And as we deal with the challenges that life brings, we all have different challenges, you know. But the great thing is, no matter what we've been through, there's always somebody who's been through something similar or even more intense than what we're going through. And if we are wise, we would be able to gain wisdom and a sense of direction from those people who have been through those kinds of things that we have been through, and learn from them. And that's really what life really should be all about. In fact, in reality, that is what it's all about. And so we're navigating this realm, but we're learning from the mistakes of the past, and we are making the necessary adjustments today so that tomorrow we can be ready for whatever comes our way, to be able to make wise choices and decisions so that we can be that much better. And so we are talking about owning the call of God, owning all the things that God has given us to be responsible for and the things to do. That is the call of God. And God gives us the ability to overcome, and we see this as it is portrayed in the Word of God. And I'm going to take us on a little journey today through the entire Bible. Now you guys are really scared now, right? Oh, now it's like, oh man, how long is this sermon gonna be? But we'll see. I know that's what Linda's thinking. So we're definitely going to move through this as quickly as I can. And I kind of did what Kenny was talking about, bartered with the Lord a little bit about this, because I knew I keep saying I was going to make things a little more fluid as I move along, but the Lord just keeps pouring and giving me more stuff, and I'm trying to filter and say, no. Well, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that, but anyway, here it is. Are you ready? Okay, so we're going to begin here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, and it's the story, as you know, of how God created Adam and Eve in the garden. And in the garden, they had a lot of responsibility in the sense that Adam had to name all the animals. He had to pretty much name everything. And then he was meeting with God in the evening, and then everything was kind of going pretty well until the devil showed up. And that's generally the way our lives tend to be. Things go well until the devil shows up. And when we are trying to do what's right and trying to do the things that we are responsible to do and accomplish, we have to stay focused and understand that whenever you do good, evil is always present. Satan will always show up. And so our lead verse today is Genesis 3:24, and it says, "So he drove out," or drove the man out, "and at the east of the Garden of Eden, and he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." So we see that after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was a problem. And the problem was that they had eaten from the tree that God had told them not to eat from. And it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which introduced evil into the world. It introduced a contrary mindset and belief and work into the world. And now Satan is now the ruler. And so there is a biblical principle that says whoever you listen to, whoever's words you believe and follow and implement in your life, make decisions by, that person or that entity is your master. That entity is who you serve. It becomes the Lord of your life, or a God to you. And that's why the Bible talks about having idols in your life. An idol is a God that is something that becomes a God that's not really a God, because there's only one God, but you make it to be a God because you listen to it, or it has a place in your life that only God should have. And so when we do that, we find ourselves in this place. And so what God did was he drives out Adam and Eve from the garden to save them, or to guard them from eating from the tree of life. And that is what is so significant in every human being's life, because every human being was created to be eternal, to live forever, to never die. Everything about our humanity and our humanness was designed to last for all eternity with God. And so I would like to use as a theme today, setting up for redemption. Setting up for redemption. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And God, we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Lord, you have made the way for us to be restored, to be healed, to be revived and renewed. And we ask, God, that you would work out your plan of redemption, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our families, in the lives of our lineage, our household, and even those who you have placed in our lives, our friends and coworkers, and those who we interact with consistently in our regular lives. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would help us to own this call of yours, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to represent you as the children of God, and to be what we are called to be, ambassadors of Christ, as we live and navigate this realm, that the will of God would be accomplished, that we would earn the right to the tree of life, that we would be able to stand before you in all that Christ has done, through him having victory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the tree of life is really what is at the center of this, and often kind of gets passed by, but the tree of life is the very thing that God was protecting Adam and Eve from in the garden, because if they had eaten from the tree of life, they would have been eternally locked in that place where they would be unredeemable, because they would be eternally sealed as servants of Satan. And that means humanity would be lost forever. And God knew this principle. He understands it. It's a principle like gravity that says what goes up goes down, which scientists still don't really understand how it works, but it's a reality, and everybody acknowledges that. And so we know that we have been called of God. In fact, the scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. And the call of salvation goes out to everyone. The call of God goes out to everyone. Everyone has an opportunity to come to Christ. So many times people will ask the question, where is God, or why is it that God would allow all this evil to take place in the world? This is why. It's because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and because of sin, Satan became the principal and the ruler of humanity, the one who has authority over man's life, because Adam and Eve listened to the words of Satan instead of holding on or obeying the words of God. And every time someone chooses the words of Satan over the words of God, they promote the perpetuation of evil in the world. And I would submit that every person who is not yielded to Christ is perpetuating evil. In fact, every decision and every choice that we make is tied to that effect. And so as we are living our lives, we are either doing what is right before God, which is called righteousness, or we are doing that which is evil, which represents the thing that we're doing that we shouldn't have done because we didn't listen to what God's way really was. And so often, even Christians are fumbling things in their lives because they're not making decisions based on what the Word of God says or what God's Word has called us to do, or operating in that way or that principle, but they're operating according to how they feel. And the moment you operate the way you feel, you're defaulting to the ways of Satan and darkness, because the flesh should not be ruling your life. Your flesh should not be the decision-making factor of your life. We adhere to the Word of God. And there are always going to be times, because we're in a fallen world, whereby you will find yourself feeling one way but having to do something else. It's the picture that says, you know, wash your dishes when you're finished. And you say, I'm tired right now. I am going to do something else. And I leave the mess for someone else to clean up. That's a sin, by the way. That is just terrible. How could you do such a thing? And the idea is that there is a way that seems right, but in the end, it is the way of destruction, the Word of God says. And what that's alluding to is that sometimes it feels like the right thing to do. It looks like the right thing to do. It works out that way based on what we know. But when you examine the Word of God, we find out, that is not the way to do it. That is not what is right. And sometimes we are suffering in our lives because we have made bad choices and decisions that were contrary to God, and now we're reaping what we have sown. And this principle is a divine principle, the principle of sowing and reaping. And so Adam and Eve were in the garden, and now they have sown according to the words of Satan, and now they are reaping God's response to navigate humanity through this realm, this time, so that we can have eternal life. God says, I will redeem you so that you can have eternal life. And so in Genesis 3:22, it says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. The tree of life is the food that enables mankind to live forever. It is a spiritual tree. that God made so that we would be able to live forever. Once you eat from the tree of life, you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Man, isn't that awesome? It's like, Adam, you fool, right? Eve, what were you thinking? The other tree right over there, you should have eaten from that. But no, and they could have, because God said you can eat from any tree except that one, the tree of good and evil. And so here we are. And so God says, I have a plan of redemption. And so this is the plan. God says, I will redeem all of those who are willing to hear my voice and follow me. I will redeem everyone whose heart is for the Lord or to serve the Lord. I will make a way for them, and they have free will. Humanity has the choice and the opportunity to live. And so you will get to choose who will be your master, who your master will be, who you will serve. And so God has begun to set it up. And so he goes on and says, therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. In other words, he's going into hard labor. Before, the garden was already done and God had already planted everything. Now you're going to start from scratch and build your own life. And so he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. God was not keeping Adam and Eve out of the garden. He was keeping them out of the tree, away from the tree of life, which was in the midst of the garden. And so God blocked off all his provisions so they could toil the land. In other words, they were blocked from the blessing and the provision of God because God was no longer their God, Satan was. So now God says, go ahead and do it yourself. And ever since, humanity has been doing itself, except when the opportunity comes for us to choose the way of the Lord, God then flips the script and restores the relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden back to those who choose to follow God. So we must choose to follow God in order to reap the benefit. But all throughout our lives, God is always reaching out, giving us opportunities to come to him, to call on his name, to enter into that relationship. But one day, there will come a day when it's just too late. And some people die before they actually make up their minds. And the funny thing is about life is because Satan is in control of all of the evil that's going on, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old, you don't know if you will be here tomorrow or not. And so God says, today is the day of salvation. Make your choice, make your decision today. Don't put it off for tomorrow. And so the story continues here in Genesis 6:9 as we jump here. It says, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time, and Noah walked with God. This is what God wants for all of us. God wants us to have this experience in Noah's life. Now, Noah was a unique individual because he is someone who, after all the evil that was going on in the world, and you see that God points out the fact that Noah was blameless in his time. Blameless to who? Well, blameless before God. Not before other people, but blameless before God. And we must be blameless before God. We must do all that we can to walk rightly before God so that we can have God say this about us. And it says he became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know, they made a show about some guy with three sons a long time ago. And that was like Noah. You know, when you think of that, you know, it's like Noah. He had three sons. And Noah's time was very, very interesting because this is what God says about his time. It says the earth was corrupt in the sight of God and the earth was filled with violence. Think about that now. Think about that. Does it sound familiar? Yes. And it's interesting because the Word of God tells us that in the days when Jesus comes back, it will be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Evil will have infiltrated the world to such a great extent. And so it goes on and it says, God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. This is the place where we find ourselves today. It goes on in verse 9 of Genesis 9. It says, behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. And so God is establishing a covenant because of it, righteousness. Righteousness is what enables you to enter into relationship and communion with God. This is what Christ has brought to us. He has enabled us to walk not in our own righteousness because, man, we just can't do it. But Christ did it, and his righteousness is applied to us. So when we live in the strength of the Word of God through Christ, we are walking in the righteousness of God. And it says, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth, God is establishing this covenant with Noah, and the fact that he came through the storms. Now, think about this. God did not deliver Noah by avoiding the storm. The storm came to everyone on the earth. And you and I are going to go through storms in our life. We're going to go through hardships and difficulties just like everybody else. The difference is God has given us directions on how to build an ark. Hallelujah. You see, Noah had directions to build an ark. And then, not only did he have direction to build the ark, he then had to build the ark. He had to pull the resources together and build the ark. You and I have to build the ark. You and I have to take God's word and put it together in our lives so that we are walking in the ways of Christ, because Jesus is our shelter. He is our protector. He is the one who we enter into. The righteous run into him and they are safe. And so it's cultivating and building our relationship with Christ, the ark of safety, that enables us to navigate the storms. Are you with me? And so it means that there is work for us to do. And it's not that we're working for our salvation, but we are working to cultivate a relationship so that our ship can endure the storms. God wants your household, your life, to be able to endure the storms of life. But it all depends on how well you follow the plan of God, how well you follow the words of God. And if we follow the words of God, we won't have a leaky boat. Hallelujah. Because if Noah's boat had leaks in it, he would have not made it. And so we need to be able to follow God's direction. It goes on, and it says in verse 11, I established my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. That includes us. We are part of the successive generation. So the sign, as we know, is the rainbow that was in the sky. He set in the cloud, it says in verse 13, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And so the rainbow is a symbol of God's covenant with his people, with all those and all those creatures and all those people that were on the ark and their lineage. And so what that means, because all of humanity was destroyed, Noah was a new type of Adam. He started over with a relationship with God. And you and I are able to reap the benefits of that, because if we trace any one of our lineage back, it will go back to Noah. Every one of us, our lineage would go back to Noah, because those were the sons that came over on the ark and their wives, and they repopulated the earth again. And so you and I are really relatives. We're distant cousins, if you will. And so the awesomeness about understanding that is because it does away with a whole lot of other things that complicate humanity. And so we are able to walk in unity and work together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, because God has brought revelation and understanding to us. And that's what the Word of God will do in our lives. It goes on in Genesis chapter 12, we see in Abram's life, he also represents a transition and a change point. This is the same type of transition and change point that can happen in your family and in my family. And as each person makes a decision to follow God, to obey the Lord, God gives you the opportunity to start your lineage afresh with a new covenant. So it says in Genesis 12, 1-4, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And so this tells us what God is able to do, because Abram's family, they were idol makers. That was their family trade. They made fake gods, false gods, idols, and yet God spoke to him. And that tells us there is hope for anyone. How many family members and friends and people do we know that are essentially idol worshipers? They worship everything. They put everything before God. And it doesn't matter whether it's sports or whether it's their kids or whether it's their job or whether it's their vacation time or their other resources and all the things that people accumulate in life. People make gods out of all these things, but it doesn't matter when God speaks to you. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter what your shortcomings are. If you listen, you can make a transitional turn, and everything, old things become passed away, and behold, everything becomes new. God can change a life. God is reaching out to people even today. God is speaking to people today. And Abraham was able to benefit from that relationship so that he could change his entire lineage. God said, leave your father and your mother and all those other idol-worshipping entities of your previous life, and go, not go to a certain place. He said, just start going, and I'll show you as you go. Man, that's some faith, isn't it? I tell you, if you told your parents you were just going to go off somewhere, you didn't know where you were going, God told you to go, they would probably look at you and start scratching their head and say, you're out of your mind. You're not going anywhere. And they probably want to wrestle you. But because God said it, and it was genuinely from God, God did something to the hearts of his own family members, such that even his nephew Lot wanted to go with him. Man, God has a way of reaching people in ways that we don't even realize. Of course, Lot turned out to be a hindrance. However, God, when you follow his word and his plans, he is able to do amazing and awesome things in a yielded person's life. You don't have to worry about how bad your past has been. You just need to be concerned about the new future and the new direction that God is taking you in. Your focus is on what God is saying and not what you think of the past. The past is the past. None of us can do anything about it. All we have is the future. That's all you have. The question is, what are you going to do with your future? How are you going to live it? I would submit it's better to live according to the word of God so that you can be blessed and experience the blessings of God and the covenant working power of God in your life rather than going according to those outside of the covenant. If Noah had to listen to all those people who were laughing and mocking him as he built the ark, he would have been lost also. And if Abram had to listen to the other people around him in his life, I'm sure he would have missed out and been lost as well. And you and I have the exact same choice to make. We have to decide who we're going to listen to. Satan always shows up as an angel of light. He sounds reasonable. He sounds like he makes good sense. He sounds like it's the right thing to do. He comes in a way that just when you put it all together, it just makes perfect sense. It sounds right. But that is the way of Satan. And no matter what Satan says, there's always a little lie mixed in. I don't know about you, but if somebody gave me something to drink and said there's just one drop of arsenic in it, just one drop. You won't even taste it. Just drink it, and man, it's going to be the best drink of your life. You're going to love it. But it does have one drop of arsenic. Would you drink it? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't drink it because you would drop dead. As soon as you started enjoying the taste, you would start leaving this world. Hallelujah. And so the idea is that when you follow Satan, no matter how good it sounds, no matter how much sense it seems to make, and no matter how crazy it seems to go the other way or the way of that God would have you to go, you better hold on to the word of God and trust him with all your heart. Because if you listen to the words of Satan and you follow him, you will suffer the consequences. Evil will overtake your life, and you will find yourself in an atmosphere of evildoers and idol worshipers. You will find yourself like Abram followed Lot followed Abram and found himself in Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the same principle that is at work today. If you follow the wrong voice, you will end up in a city like Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is certainly the way this world is headed, for sure. And so Moses now, he also was a person who represents a transition. Now, the situation with Moses is that, once again, all of the people were finding themselves in a difficult situation. Egypt represents a type of the world or a place where Satan's rules are at work. And Egypt represents the coming together of that which was in the Garden of Eden as well as that which Abraham left. So the idol environment of Abraham with the serpent of old in the garden mixed together and you get Egypt. And that is where they ended up in that place. And Egypt shifted because it wasn't that way when Joseph got there. Well, it was, but Joseph had such a powerful impact, he was able to allow the words of God to permeate and lead in that place. But once he died, evil began to rise up and infiltrate, and once again, you have the mix of the serpent's words as well as the idols of the days of Abraham's lineage. And so that is the atmosphere that Moses finds himself in. But the people of God were crying out for help. When you cry out before God, as you are walking in the righteousness of God, when you're doing the will of God, God will raise up a deliverer. God will raise up a way out for his people. God will bring the way of righteousness to you and to me, and he will make a way for us. And this is why we have faith in God. We hold on. We're true to him. We allow him to lead us and guide us, even when it seems like, man, this is insane. Why am I leaving my family and just walking to a place where God is going to show me? Oh, man, that's just crazy. But when you obey and you say, God, I'm going to trust you, and you go, God begins to bless you every step of the way. And that's what the story of Abraham was. And that's what happens here with Moses. All of a sudden, not only does Moses bring himself and his own family, now he's impacting an entire lineage of people. Between 2 and 3 million people Moses led out of Egypt. And he brought them out because of the word of God. But it began with this transitional experience right here in Exodus 3, 1 to 4. It says, Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb and the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a burning bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. And so Moses said, I must turn aside now and go see this marvelous sight. Why is the bush, it's burning, but why isn't it burnt up? Why is it not burnt up? Man, Moses said, this is crazy. Let me go see what this phenomena really is. And so when he gets there, the Lord sees him, and the Lord saw him turn aside to look. He saw that he had his attention, and God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Here I am. And so Moses is hearing his name called, and he begins to respond to God. And when God sees a person looking, when he sees a person looking to search out truth and to search out righteousness, they are really searching for God, because God is truth. God is righteous. And so when people are genuinely looking, they will always find their way to Jesus. I love it when people are genuinely seeking the truth, because it will always lead them to Christ. And this is what happened in Moses' life. He went through a very interesting upbringing as he was put in a basket as a child. His mother had faith. His mother stood in the gap. And she put him in the basket, and it led him to the house of Pharaoh, where Pharaoh's daughter raised him. And he was next in line to become Pharaoh himself. And God has a way of preserving his people. He will preserve you. He will watch over you. Just like Noah in the ark, when you're in righteousness, when you have faith in God, when you're trusting in God, thank God for Moses' mother, because eventually 40 years later, 50 years later, here he is before God. And we know that God is able to do amazing things, and you are never too old. Abram was 75 when God called him out. 75 and said, leave your father and mother's house. Could you imagine a 75-year-old man living with his mother? The fact that his mother was still alive is like, hallelujah. You know God is with you. Saints of God, the Lord is with us. God is with you. Don't underestimate for one moment how much God is watching over his people. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world, all the craziness that's going on. It doesn't matter the challenges and the difficulties that you face. All you need to do is trust in the word of God. Stay faithful and stay true. Make your choices, make your decisions based on the word of God. Stay true. And God will enable you to overcome. And so in Exodus 3:4, it says, when the Lord saw that he was looking, and he spoke to Moses, and he called him from the midst of the bush. God called him out of the very thing that he used to draw his attention. You see, God is able to get our attention. He can get anyone's attention. He knows what it takes for us to look and to focus. And we are raising up children. We have families, and we're trying to raise up our children and help them to walk in the ways of God. And it's very difficult. But I can assure you that if you are training them in the right way, God will sustain them. And God has a way of reaching them. He has a way of speaking to them and calling them out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And the choice will fall off onto their shoulders to make a wise choice. And as they grow up every day, they'll be trained to make decisions. You and I are training our children to make wise decisions. Every day when they go to school, when they're interacting with people, as they grow older and they're looking for jobs and they're making life choices and decisions from families and situations of that nature for themselves, we have trained them. We have spoken the words of God into them. We have modeled the way of Christ so that they would be able to see what it is to serve the Lord. And so when the Lord saw that, and he spoke to Moses, he called out to him. We see the same thing in the life of Samuel. In 1 Samuel 1:9, it says, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was greatly distressed, and she prays to the Lord, and she weeps bitterly. She's crying out before God. She's crying because she wants a child. She doesn't have any children, and she's crying and praying and asking God to give her a child." And it goes on, the story says that she makes a vow to the Lord, and she says, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Saints of God, this prayer is the prayer that brought the answer that she sought. It was the fact that she was not praying for herself anymore. Now she was praying for a gift to give back to the Lord. And I would submit to you that our children are gifts that we are to give back to the Lord. And she then, of course, we know the story, raises him up, and she gives birth to him as God answers her prayer. The story goes on in verse 15 of chapter 1, 1 Samuel. Hannah replies after she was accused of Eli of being drunk because she was there moving her lips, but she wasn't saying anything. Traditionally, when people prayed, they prayed out loud. Prayer was generally out loud. It was considered speaking to God. And whenever you see prayer in the Word of God, it's always out loud. And very few instances where you see anybody praying, where nobody hears anything. And this is one of them. And so it says that she replied and she said, "No, Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." This is the kind of prayer that God answers. The effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. God responds to a prayer of fervency where the heart is being poured out. The soul is being poured out. Is that the kind of prayer you pray? Is that the way you commune with God when you are seeking him for something in your life? He goes on, he says, "Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." You see, he says, up until now, she was praying out of her own great concern and provocation. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you are not just praying out of your great concern, and you're not saying to the Lord, "I have spoken." Hallelujah. You're not just saying, "I have spoken," but you are actually communing with God. You're pouring out your heart before God. It is something that is a desire within you that the will and the word of God may be accomplished in your life. In verse 17, it says, "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him.'" Oh, saints of God, do you want answers to your prayers? Well, then you must have fervent prayers. You must desire to seek the Lord out of the depths of your heart. Let your soul cry out before God. That is yieldedness. That is surrender. That is a purity out of a heart's desire that God's will would be done in your life. It says, she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Hallelujah. You see, when God speaks, man, it brings joy to your life. All of a sudden, she was walking around moping, and she was down on herself because she was feeling like she was cursed in society because she didn't have a child. And now all of a sudden, she hears from God. Eli says, "May the Lord answer your prayer." Oh, God, there is nothing greater than hearing those words. May God answer the cry of your heart. Oh, saints of God, God is listening to the prayers of his people. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, he shall deliver you. That's what Romans says. And so the story goes on. And we see that in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. She goes on, those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his kings and will exalt the horn of his anointed. And then Elkanah, her husband, went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. You see, the boy was born, and she honored her prayer. She didn't do like Kenny was suggesting a little earlier, when we make promises to God and then we say, and then we fail to keep them. She actually gave birth to the child because God had answered her prayer, and she brought her child to the church, dropped him off, and said, "Eli, he's all yours. Praise be to God." Hallelujah. And he was raised in the house of God. Saints of God, don't let anyone tell you you spend too much time in the house of God. Don't let anyone tell you you spend too much time in church. You give too much to the church. You do too much for the church. Saints of God, your eternal inheritance is in the church. Your life is in the church. Who you are is in the church. Everything about the church and life and eternity is yours. And you are investing in fulfilling the words of God, accomplishing the will of God, so that one day you will be able to eat from the tree of life. This is what God is building us to. And so in 1 Samuel 3:10, it says, "Then the Lord came and stood and called at other times to Samuel as a young boy. And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Oh, saints of God, I pray that that's the prayer you have for your children. I pray that you are raising your children up in the house of the Lord so that when God calls their name, they will be able to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." There is no greater inheritance. There is no greater thing that you could pass on to your children than the ability to hear and know the words of God. Oh, saints of God, I pray that your children know the word of God. They recognize the voice of God, and they are responding, saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." if they don't hear the voice of God, they will hear the voice of the world. They will hear the voice of Satan speaking to them as he did in the garden. And if we are not careful, we will find ourselves swimming outside the ark, pleading for help, when God has already made the way, but we failed to follow his plans. This is what God is trying to lead us to, because there is a day of reckoning that is coming. There is a day that is in our future whereby we will stand before the Lord. Matthew 11, 25, it says, "Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight." And he says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone who to whom the Son wills to reveal him." And so Jesus is saying to the disciples, he's explaining to them how the relationship with God works. God is a revealer of truth. God is calling his people. God is establishing a relationship with us, and he's looking to save us, to redeem us, to lead us, to guide us, so we can navigate through life and come through victoriously. In verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Saints of God, do you need rest in your life? Are you weary and heavy laden? Then you need to come to Jesus. When you are in communion with God, when you are walking with God, it doesn't matter if the rain starts to come down, because you are building an ark. It won't matter if everyone around you is serving false idols and having all kinds of chaos and confusion in your life. You are in the shelter of the Almighty. You are in the hands and under the covering of the Spirit of God. The Lord your God is with you, who will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're weary and you are heavy laden, come to him. He will give you rest. Saints of God, oh, you can have the peace of God in your life. You need to cultivate this relationship with him. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Oh, saints of God, while everyone else is drowning and they've got chaos and confusion going on in your life, you're floating on the ark of safety. You're there, you hear, meh, meh, all you hear are the animals that are on the ark with you and the birds chirping, chirp, 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 right? No, you don't hear all the people and their chaos and all their confusion, and they're drowning and they're going, "Oh, save us, help us, oh, we're drowning." You have the peace of God that passes all understanding. This is what happens when you follow God's plan. This is what happens when you walk with the Lord. This is what happens when you are with him, when you take his yoke upon you. Oh, saints of God, you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. He goes on, and we see this picture here. Here we are yoked together with Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is what a yoke looks like. When you're yoked together, you have the trained and seasoned cow or bull yoked together with the young bull who doesn't really know the ropes. And so they're yoked together, so the one bull will know what to do. And when the young bull decides he's going to try to do something else, he can't, because he's yoked together. And he's forced to learn the ways of the new bull. This is what God is trying to do in our lives. What God wants to do, he's saying, we're yoked together. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." And we're able to walk with God. We're yoked together with Jesus. We hold on. We trust in him. We look to him so that we can overcome the obstacles that we face. Jesus came up in Matthew 28, 18, and he says to his people, he says to the disciples, he speaks to them and says, "All authority has been given to men," or given to me, "in heaven and on earth." Hallelujah. Both in heaven and on earth. Why in heaven? Because God is spirit and Jesus is spirit. He's the literally the word that became flesh. On the earth, because he is the word and now he's living on the earth. And now he has authority in the earth. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Saints of God, this is what Jesus is calling us to do. He's calling us to be those who teach people. We teach one another. We teach our children. We teach our coworkers, our loved ones, and our friends. We teach anyone who is willing to listen and to hear so that they can learn the plans of God and follow his will and his ways so that they can overcome and come to a place of safety. In verse 14 of Acts 1, it says, these are all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Saints of God, we need to be a praying people. We need to devote ourselves to the prayer that comes from the depths of our heart, the outcry of prayer like Hannah cried out before God. In Acts 1:1, it says, in the first account, I compass Theophilus about that Jesus, all that Jesus began to do and teach, the things that Jesus did and taught. The two go together. You must do them and teach them until the day when he was taken up to heaven, till the day you die, till the day you stand before the Lord. You must do and obey all that Jesus did and taught. And after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, you and I must also have direction from the Holy Spirit. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Saints of God, Jesus is not just some made-up story. There were evidences. There are many proofs, convincing proofs. And Jesus interacted with people for 40 days after the resurrection. Over a month, he was there ministering and interacting with people. This is a true story. Gathering them together, it says, verse 3, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. And that is the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I would submit, if you are going to be able to endure like Jesus did, then you need the aid of the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit of God to rise up in you. You need the Spirit of the Lord to stir you, to unction you, to motivate you, to lead you, to guide you, to bring things to your remembrance, to help you to remember what the word of the Lord is so that you can overcome the challenges and the difficulties of this world. Saints of God, you need the Spirit of the Lord. Revelation 14:12 says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. You see that? Here is the perseverance. You need perseverance, and you need to be able to keep your faith in Jesus. No matter what is happening all around you, no matter what's going on in the world, you must hold on to your hope that is in Jesus. He says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Hallelujah. Saints of God, your deeds are following you. Your deeds are following with you. The decisions that you make, the things that you do, they are following you and they are going to be with you. And that is why it's so important to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And when you hear the word of God spoken, it represents the Spirit of the Lord speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking. He's calling to you right now. The Lord is calling to us. He is beckoning us, and he is saying, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Oh, Revelation 22:12. God is calling to us. He is calling to us, and behold, he is coming quickly. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. He said, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. And they, and hallelujah, and may enter by the gates into the city of God. Oh, praise God, saints. I pray that you are able to come to the city of God. Will you be there? Will you be in the city of God? Will you have washed your robes because of the tree of life's prevailing abilities at work in your life, the fruit of the tree of life? I pray that you will be able to eat from the tree of life. I pray that you will have the right to the tree of life. Oh, saints, now is what God is calling us to do. Now is when he's asking us to hear his voice and to follow him, to heed the call of God. It says in Genesis 3:24, he drove the man out of the east of the Garden of Eden, and he stationed cherubim and flaming swords out front, and that turn in every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Saints of God, I pray that in the end, you will be able to eat from the tree of life. I want to eat from the tree of life. I want to hear the word of God and let the plans of God be unfolded, that the will of God may be accomplished. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's what Revelation 2:7 says, and that is your future and mine as we obey the plan of God, as we are set up for redemption. God is using us to set up the next generation for redemption. He's using us to set up one another, co-workers and loved ones and friends, so that all things can pass away, and behold, all things can be made new, that the hand of God may prevail in our lives, and that his will would be done. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here we go. Verse 1.
Hallelujah.
Let love explode and bring the dead to life. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
A love so bold to see a revolution somehow.
Oh.
Now I'm lost in your freedom.
Oh.
Of this world I'll overcome. My God's not dead, he's surely alive.
Walk with God. All you need is the peace that surpasses all understanding. God has given you directions. You can build the ark. You can hear the voice of God and turn from the ways of the idol worshipers. And you can follow a new plan that God has laid out for you. And you can pass this on to your children and to your children's children, for generation to generation, that we would all meet together in the presence of the Lord as we stand before God at the tree of life, where we will be able to eat together at the great banqueting table of the Lord, where the glory of God will prevail. Well, I pray that you have been breathed into today, and that the word of life is being taken up root in the heart of your soul, and that you are able to walk with confidence and strength and wisdom and power in Jesus' name. And so I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you, oh God, would enable us, God, that your words and your plans and your will and your ways would come alive within us, that we would be able to be the people you've called us to be, heeding the call of God and fulfilling all that he has called us to do, that one day we will stand before you, oh God, and hear those faithful words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. enter into the joy of the Lord. I thank you, God, for your love and your grace poured out toward us and all those who follow your will and your ways according to the call of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks, oh God. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.